This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. When the Nazis invaded Poland in 1939, a patriotic group of freedom fighters formed the Polish Underground. One of the heroes of that group was Jan Karski. He worked as a courier, ferrying information between the rebels and their exiled government, first in France and later in London. He was an early whistleblower, alerting Western powers to the atrocities perpetrated by the Nazis. Nobody listened, though. In 1944, he published a book called Courier from Poland, The Story of a Secret State. It was a bestseller in America, detailing much of the horror he had seen. After the war, Jan knew that a Soviet-occupied Poland was not a safe place for him. He stayed in the United States, where he found a home at Georgetown University, and he stayed there for 40 years. Jan Karski died in 2000 at the age of 86, but his memory lived on. Raleigh resident Wanda Urbanska led the effort to award Jan a Presidential Medal of Freedom. The campaign began in May of last year, and tonight President Obama will award that medal. Wanda Urbanska joins us now in the studio. Welcome. Good to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us a little bit more. How does somebody in Raleigh get involved in a national campaign like this?
Well, I could have been in Omaha or Utah, anywhere. I've been a Poloniophile my entire life. I'm half Polish on my father's side. And so after I wound down Simple Living with Wanda Urbanska, I was looking for new directions and went and took a sabbatical in Warsaw. There I met a number of wonderful people working with the Polish History Museum, the new Museum for the History of Polish Jews that will be opened in Warsaw next year, and worked on a project with them. When I returned to North Carolina, they reached out to me and said they were looking for a U.S. director for an international campaign to honor the legacy of Jan Karski as we approach the centennial of his birth in 2014. So we're just elated to hear the news that President Obama did, in fact, award him a Presidential Medal of Freedom, which happened today.
And Simple Living with Wanda Urbanska, we should say, was a public television show that ran for quite a while.
Exactly. Yes. It was the first show, nationally syndicated show, advocating sustainable living.
How did you come to know Jan Karski and his work?
You know, it's interesting. I read Story of a Secret State 20 years ago. My father had a somewhat similar life to Karski's, was of that same era, though certainly didn't have as many heroics as Karski has. He gave me the book, and I remember reading it and thinking, being stunned about the Polish underground. Even though I'd always been interested in Poland, I knew so little. And Americans generally know very little about the fact that the Polish underground was the largest and most significant resistance movement in wartime occupied Europe, with an estimated between 400,000 and 600,000 members. And the Poles really did a lot for the Allies. And, of course, the rest of the story has not been a good one, in that Poland, after the war, was handed over to the Soviets and became a communist-dominated state until 1989.
Tell us about his work. What exactly did he do?
Jan Karski was a remarkable person. He was born in 1914 in multicultural Łódź, Poland, which was a fabrics and manufacturing center composed of Polish Catholics, Polish Jews, and the German minorities. He was gifted. He was the youngest of eight children, gifted with a photographic memory and endowed with a very strong Roman Catholic education, a Jesuit education. He went on to become a diplomat, and he was very multilingual. And like most young Polish men in the 30s, he was enlisted in the Polish military as a reserved officer. So when the war broke out in 1939, people know about September 1 when the Nazis invaded Poland, but fewer know that on September 17, 1939, the Soviets came in from the other side. So Karski was in the Soviet part of Poland and sent off to a shipment of officers where he would have been killed at the Katyn Forest Massacre of 1940. And somehow he had a seventh sense about him and figured that he should go back to Nazi-occupied Poland, so traded his uniform with an enlisted man and got on a shipment back. Once again, he got another sense that things are not going to go so well here in Nazi-occupied Poland, and he jumped out of a moving train and led a group of other fellow Polish officers to do the same. And then he made his way back to Warsaw, the city of Warsaw, where his oldest brother and his father figure, because his own father had died when he was young, Marian Kozalewski, because that was actually Jan Karski's birth name, was the head of the police department for the city of Warsaw. And Jan came into Warsaw and he thought, has my brother, because Warsaw had fallen into Nazi hands, working for the Nazis? This will be a problem in our relationship. So he finally met him at church and they spoke. And Marian said to Jan, I'm not working for them. We're starting the underground organization and you need to be a part of it. So he started on missions into France, carrying the underground government information from Warsaw into France and later to London.
And, of course, some of that information was what he saw about Nazi extermination camps and what was happening to the Jews. He saw that firsthand.
Exactly. So probably what he's known best for now is he went into the Warsaw Jewish ghetto in 1942, and he witnessed what was going on, including, you know, games in which young, young Nazi officers were hunting down youth as sport. And he went in there twice, and he also dressed as a prison guard and went into a holding camp, a transit camp of Izbica Lubelska, and witnessed the Jews being herded onto cattle cars and many of them dying in the process to be sent to their deaths. These experiences profoundly marked him. They, for the rest of his life, he said, these are my permanent possessions. So he was the first credible witness to come to the Allies, first to Anthony Eden, the British Foreign Secretary, and later he had an hour with Franklin Roosevelt in 1943 in the White House.
They weren't paying much attention to him at the time, were they?
Gosh, it's one of the great tragedies of World War II and, of course, a permanent tragedy of Jan Karski's life that they didn't act when there was time to act. It's, of course, a matter of interpretation. Did they believe him? I tend to believe that they did know, but they acted in their own political, perceived political self-interest and chose not to act.
Also, when he published his book, part of it was censored, the work that was published in the United States.
Well, of course, in 1944, when Story of a Secret State was published to wide acclaim, 400,000 copies sold, the part about the Soviets was censored because at that time they were our allies, even though they had committed grievous injustices against the Poles and many, many others of their own citizens. But – and so after the war, Karski started his career at Georgetown University and kind of put all that in the back burner like so many of the Poles did who were – it was so tragic and they needed to move on. But he was later discovered by Claude Lanzmann, the filmmaker in the 80s, who sort of induced him to appear on Shoah. And then he started to tell his story again and was widely decorated.
Part of the problem, a number of problems. Number one is to see all of this, witness it, and realize that for political reasons, people are not going to – they're going to pay attention. They understand what you're going to do. They're not going to act on all of this evidence. And then to have part of your work censored. But as you pointed out earlier, there's also the trouble of family and friends. What happens under these kinds of pressures with the Soviets on the one side, Nazis on the other, the pressure to collaborate? Who's your friend? You know, what family members are doing? This is all very treacherous landscape.
Well, the book Story of a Secret State is a great read. And I must say it's come back. Penguin UK has published it just this year in paperback. And Georgetown University Press just this week signed the contract. So we'll be bringing out a centennial edition of Story of a Secret State, which details all these things you're talking about. The Poles, once you joined the underground, if you stepped out of line, you were shot. You were killed. The Polish underground is so fascinating. It had a division to save Jews, the Zagoda, the only resistance movement that did in war-torn Europe. They had a court system. They carried on schools. It was a great thing. And so I was so thrilled when President Obama made the announcement that the medal would be conferred on Jan Karski. And in one of those rare moments where politics works the way it should, this was a bipartisan campaign. We had North Carolina Senator Richard Burr signing the letter to the president, along with 68 congressmen and 11 other senators for this act. And you know, I will tell you this, Frank, we were urging the White House, can you give us a decision by the week of April the 22nd? Because Jan Karski's birthday, the first Jan Karski Day, will be held at the New York Consulate on the 24th. On April the 22nd, I got a call from a White House saying tomorrow President Obama will confer this, will mention that he is going to confer the award. So I had the opportunity to get in the car, drive up to the United States Memorial Holocaust Commission, hear his speech on genocide, thank him on behalf of the campaign, and he looked me in the eye and he said, "We got it done."
Wanda, thank you for all your hard work and getting it done. Good to talk with you.
Nice to talk to you, Frank.
Wanda Urbanska is the director of the Jan Karski U.S. Centennial Campaign. And thanks to her efforts and the efforts of the entire campaign, President Obama will award Jan Karski a posthumous Presidential Medal of Freedom at a ceremony tonight. Just ahead, a couple of scientists designed a kinder, gentler way to spread ribs during open chest surgery. Stay tuned to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.